The old line traditional standards, the pop favorites, whatever it is that you call them, the good music stations have a place in this old world. And it appears that sort of music is no longer confined to the doctor's office. We spoke with Harold Tanner, general manager of WLDM, Detroit's first FM station.
We started about 23 years ago, the first independent FM station in the market. And I believe that much of what we know today was pioneered by this station. From marketing studies that have been made, today we have something over 85% penetration of FM, so we know that a lot of people are listening to it. I believe this, that it's only a question of time until AM radio becomes completely extinct, and I believe most knowledgeable people in the industry will agree to that because of the superior technical qualities that FM has and the interest that we have today in stereo, which of course cannot be duplicated by any AM station. I believe this is one reason that we have a trend all over the nation today that AM are becoming talk stations while FM are becoming music stations because of the superiority of reproduction.
We also talk with Mr. Tanner about competition.
The fact that we have today three FM stations and one AM station with quite similar music formats, I believe that it will attract more listeners to the FM band away from the AM band because of the very nature of the programming. I don't regard them as being particular competitors in a sense because I think there's room for all of us. We're in a huge market. And anybody should suffer from the competition, I think it will be AM stations because of the additional promotion that stations like JR today are doing on their FM. WWJ with their programming. Are promoting FM as they never have. We've got WQTE, which for some time has been advertising and promoting FM programming on AM. Well, this is fine, and more power to them, but it still isn't in stereo, and neither will it ever be on AM. So why listen to an inferior reproduction when you can go to an FM station and get the real thing?
Stereo 95. WLDM.
Mr. Tanner has seen a lot of Detroit radio.
After having spent almost 40 years or thereabouts in the Detroit radio market, we didn't have nearly as many stations as we had today or have today. And everybody in those days did general programming. We had, without stopping to count them, I'd say about a dozen stations. And strange as it may seem, I think they were just as competitive then as they are today, even though we have many times that number of stations. But remember then, radio was new. Radio was trying to establish itself. And it was difficult to sell advertising. A lot of people did not think radio was here. They thought it was a fad. It would pass. We had just as tough a fight then selling radio with a minimum of competition as you do today with a lot of stations.
Harold Tanner, general manager of WLDM-FM. Garnett Sparks of WOMC tells us the approach used by his station.
Our approach, as naive as it might sound to some of the real pros in the radio business, quote-unquote, has simply been to offer the best quality programming that we could come up with as consistently as we could do it. And that's why we've made the investments in equipment that we have. That's why we've gone to 24-hour operation. That's why we've picked the music that we play here locally. There are any number of canned music services available that purport to duplicate what we're doing, you know, the good music sound and so forth, however you want to define that. But we make our own musical selections right here in this market rather than buying canned tapes as some of the stations do. Basically, though, what we've wanted to do is provide the best music, the best news, the best program services we could come up with.
Music designed especially for your listening enjoyment from Stereo 104. WOMC, Detroit.
Mr. Gordon Sparks talks about the success at WOMC.
I don't really think our success has an awful lot to do with what the other stations have or haven't done. I think it has more to do with what we've done. And I don't think it's any big secret. I think, fortunately, we started out with good signal and pretty much decided what we wanted to program and stuck with it for a long time. Now, everybody's pretty much aware of OMC recently, but we've been doing this since about 1958 or 59. And for a good many years, during those earlier years when we first started separate programming from our affiliated AM station, there were just a handful of us that were aware of what was being programmed and what was being done. So I think it's the success of WOMC hinges pretty much on our good signal and the fact that we've played good stereo music over a long period of time, consistently stuck with it, and people have discovered us and liked it and stuck with it.
Music designed especially for your listening enjoyment from Stereo 104. WOMC, Detroit.
Garnett and Gordon Sparks of WOMC. Then there's Richard Jones, owner of WQTE. He tells you now why he bought what was then WMIC.
Well, originally we bought WMIC, which is licensed to Monroe, because it had an excellent signal and it covered not only Detroit, but all of southeastern Michigan. To us, it seemed to be a perfect facility and one which offered a challenge, providing we could come up with the proper format. So we established auxiliary studios in Detroit so we would have the Detroit connotation as well as Monroe. And we changed the call letters from WMIC to WQTE for a reason. We were looking toward a derivative of WQTE, for instance, a contest where we'd have a Miss Cutie, and the call letters offered that possibility, so that was the reason for the change. I devised this concept of good music, one where we give 7 to 10 minutes of uninterrupted old familiar favorites, music that never goes out of style.
Listen to WQTE all day long because, well, not all day long, but most of the day, because I like the music, because it takes us back to 1924 and years from there on. And that's the kind of music I like, rather than the hippie music.
Mr. Jones, what about other stations that try to compete with WQTE?
A recent survey that ARB, American Research Bureau, just brought out, came up with a survey which showed the 5 most popular stations in the top 50 cities. And we were quite gratified that Cutie was one of the 5 in the Detroit market.
Cutie Radio, WQTE Monroe, 560 on your AM dial.
There is no reason for the listener who likes the WQTE sound and is, has his or her dial locked on 560, there's no reason to change to something else. Who's going to do it any better than we do it? The reason that other stations have not copied this is because they know it's a long, slow process. Because a format such as this is a process of evolution, not revolution.
Yes, I listen to WQTE most of the time whenever I'm home. I enjoy it very, very much. The music is very pleasing for a person my age.
I've had 30 years of the radio scene in Detroit and in other markets. WQTE has been programmed the way you hear it today for 10 years, has never changed. A successful station doesn't change formats.
A fellow named John Small is general manager at WKNR-FM, that station known as Stereo Island. John tells you why he feels his station strikes a happy medium.
This Stereo Island is quite a magnificent animal, we think. It does do one thing. It eats up music 24 hours a day. It employs 2 girls full-time to do nothing but pick the music that we think people would like to listen to. The music is familiar, and the music is something that I think you'd like to walk away whistling or humming. It's a format that incorporates virtually almost anything that you want to hear. It's not everything for everybody. It lets you relax. It's one of the most imitated things I've bumped into. As a matter of fact, if I have any complaints about Detroit, I wish they'd stop plagiarizing everybody, because I don't think there are very many original thoughts in this market. As a result of this thing going on, which we spend hours and hours and hours developing, there are 4 or 5 other radio stations that are using tidbits of it, And although we might consider it a compliment, at the same time, I think that it's watering down the whole radio market in Detroit by everybody trying to rip it off. WKNR 100
John Small, general manager at WKNR-FM. KNR-FM's program director, Bob Bartlett, got his start in Ann Arbor. He says,
it was a learning experience all the way through, and I'm sure I would not be in Detroit today if I had not learned many things while working with Ted Bawn at WPAG. But it's been an outstanding move to come into the Detroit area, work for John Small at Stereo Island, who himself started in Ann Arbor Radio. I think up to approximately 6 months ago, the Detroit radio market was very dull and very boring. And I still think it is, for the most part, on the AM band. Nothing creative is being done by anybody in Detroit at this time, in my opinion. They're either jukeboxes or supposed to be personality stations with lousy personalities. I think 6 months ago, several FM stations, including WKNR-FM, made some changes. WJR-FM changed its format, and a couple of others, although they didn't make drastic changes like we did and JR-FM did, they tended to change their policies somewhat. And I think this is made for a very exciting FM band. I no longer think that FM radio in Detroit is dull. If we can get people to switch from AM to FM, and I think more and more people are doing that all the time, they're really going to get turned on by what's going on in FM.
It's 9:54 on Stereo Island. Carol King from the Tapestry album, It's Too Late. Emmett Rhodes, You're a Very Lovely Woman. And Pretty World from Sergio Mendez and Brazil 66. Stereo Island weather, windy with occasional thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight. Today's high 85, it's 75 degrees now in Detroit. I'm Bob Bartlett from 100 FM. Have a pleasant day. Here now from the Supremes and In and Out of Love.
Keep falling in.
KNR-FM program director Bob Bartlett. That same station's Bob Chenault was a talkative personality in Ann Arbor. When questioned about DJs, Chenault said,
I think too many of the stations that allow the disc jockey to say whatever he wants to fail in some aspects because not everybody can talk and talk bright and intelligent. Some stations that allow the disc jockey to do this fail because sometimes the disc jockey comes on after a record and says absolutely nothing. But he feels he has to say something, so he does. And literally, he just blows it.
From the year 1970, this is the song. Wham! Radio 16 rated number one, The Carpenters.
I think Detroit radio has lost a lot of the excitement that it used to have years ago. And I think this excitement is starting to come back. But it's starting to come back with the FM stations. The AM stations, I think, are afraid to bring back some of this excitement because they have a pretty good thing going. Maybe they have good accounts and whatever. But the FM stations, who don't have a lot of advertising, are willing to risk it and to try something different. And they're doing it, and they're starting to make waves.
We ask Harry Walker, general manager of WKNR-AM, just what he thinks of radio today.
I am very proud to say that WKNR AM and FM are progressing along with the other radio stations in really getting back into the communication business. It is indeed a pleasure to be associated with a group of broadcasters in this market that have done in the past a very commendable job, but I think now we've initiated a new sound, and it's a Detroit sound. We've been contemporary radio and WJR, California radio, our own Stereo Island, RIF, ABX, are all to be commended because they are going after a specific audience, or demo.
WCAR's Ed Bush.
There hasn't really been anything new since WKNR hit on Halloween Day 1963, and I mean that sincerely, because if you remember when they first started, there was no talk. They just pounded out the records. And in 1965, when CKLW came on, that's exactly what they did. I know, I was there. It was almost a carbon copy of what Keener did when they first kicked off. So I think probably the next revolution, if you can call it that, because let's face it, everything comes in cycles, it's got to go back to personality. And I look very strongly in the next year or so to see a personality rocker in town.
Jim Tate is the morning DJ at WKNR. And he comments on an age-old problem, how to get up before you do.
Yeah, I feel that morning radio in any town is about the same, because people are people, and getting up is the same drudge that it is in Philadelphia, where I was, or in New York. Any city at all, getting up is a pain in the neck. Some people have a lower opinion of it.
That's Jim Tate. Hello there. By the way, when your mind goes blank, always remember to turn off the sound. For Bloomfield, we'd hear this at 4 minutes before 8. Temperature now 58 degrees from WKNR.
So, what we try to do here with what I call the late Jim Tate show, which may not be a good idea referring to the word late too much, because nobody wants to be reminded, I guess. So what we're trying to do here at WKNR is to do it brightly with a smile. There are several approaches, and I think they're all tried in Detroit. And we'll see in the next rating service which one is working. Hopefully, I'll be one of them. WKNR 13.
It's 7:52 on a Monday in Detroit with the late Tate. Let's play on.
I've seen some major markets where stations apparently get by with guys who are not really that good. And I couldn't really point in this town to anybody who isn't a pro. And that's a fact. And that's the truth.
It is 8:00.
Now, WKNR Dearborn presents another hour of
Motor City Music. We talk with Tom Clay, one of Detroit's best remembered DJs, who's working now in Los Angeles. He recalls just for you some of his early Detroit radio memories.
Standing up on top of Jack's Auto Wash car sign and doing a show and then doing Willie and the Handshine. That was while I worked at WJBK. The other memory, of course, is getting fired for taking payola. And what a messed up thing that was, not just for radio, but for disc jockeys and record companies. But it was something that happened, and I think they've gone beyond that now.
After you hear a song sung by Barbara Streisand, nothing, nothing, nothing is the same. Phenomenal, fantastic, wonderful, beautiful Barbara Streisand, and he touched me.
Now, the fourth and final hour of Words and Music. With yours truly, Tom Clay. In this hour, we is gonna have a ball to get it bouncing. Try this one on for size.
A most fantastic memory, I guess, in Detroit radio has to be the Beatles at CKLW. I'd come back from Los Angeles after working out here for a couple of years and had the offer to go to work at CK. And, wow, it was just the scope, everything, unbelievable. You know, the audience getting such things as 40,000 letters in less than 3 days. That's got to be something, you know. And with it all, it never went to my head. I know there are some in Detroit who would, you know, doubt that and say, oh, are you kidding, man? He had to be a conceited, you know what? But I never was. I was always kind of like, wow, amazed, you know, this is me, you know. like an example, when Payola happened, and I had been fired, you know, from the station, and it didn't bother me because I was so excited by the fact that I had my picture on the front page of the paper, you know, and I'm saying, I ran home and I said to my wife, hey, look, look, that's me, man. They got my picture on the front page of the paper. I guess I never did take things too serious. Memories of disc jockeys in Detroit. Who would be my favorite? I guess my favorite disc jockey in Detroit wasn't while I was a disc jockey in Detroit. Now, oh, sure, there were Don McLeods, there was Mickey Shore, there was Tom George, Clark Reed. A lot of great guys, you know. Lee Allen did a great job. But my favorite disc jockey in the city of Detroit is a guy named Dick Turton. I don't even think he knows this, and I'm sure he could care even less. But when I heard him for the first time, he just tore me up. Thought he was the cleverest, funniest disc jockey I'd ever heard. I didn't have too much of a rapport with the disc jockeys in CKLW. Joe Vann, Davey Schaefer was good, you know. They were all good disc jockeys. But no one really excited me as being creative as Dick Turton.
Mr. Joe South, talking about you, yeah, and me, and the games people play. What is it he says? People walking up to you, singing glory, hallelujah, and then they try to sock it to you in the name of the Lord. I hit it with my hand. I knew I was going to do that. I hit the needle with my hand. This is done by the Letterman. Go all the way back to 1961, 62. The very first recording that made it real big. Just the way you are, babe, tonight.
Someday. I worked at a station there just several months ago called W4. And I guess my most memorable happening there would be the fact that last Christmas, 1970 Christmas, we were able to raise almost $27,000 worth of food, clothing, brand new toys, money for kids. And in a way, I kind of felt like I had made up for whatever wrong I had done in the city. In other words, you know, like taking payola was wrong and so forth.
Now, words and music with yours truly, Tom Clay.
Just a little bit of soul. Now,
in this hour, we're going to have a ball to get things bouncing. Try this one on for size.
I always felt kind of like dirty until last Christmas. Then I said, hey, baby, Detroit, goodbye. I just made up to you for all the bad things I've done.
Okay, better hang on. It's one of the big sounds around the town. Four Seasons, Ragdoll.
Joe Baccarello of WXYZ remembers Tom Clay.
Tom had to be one of the finest disc jockeys in the country. As a matter of fact, in some kind of poll, I forget which one it was, that he was voted one of the top 10 in the country. And I had worked with Tom for quite a few months before ever meeting the guy. And I was very impressed with him because he was able to communicate with young people. Production-wise, he was probably one of the finest that I've ever met. He wanted to make sure people were listening to him. And what he would do is he'd do some crazy stunt on the air that would just light up the switchboard. And this was a great satisfaction to him to know that he could light up the switchboard because he was doing this crazy stunt. If I ever was in a position to have you work for me, I says, I would hire you. I'd put a leash around your neck, but I would hire you.
That is what is wrong with Detroit radio. They want to put a leash around your collar. And the only thing you put leashes around are dogs. Not human beings.
All right, there you have it. The big number two sound around CK's town, and that takes in an awful lot of space. Ace Tom Clay here till 11 o'clock tonight. Ragdoll, Four Seasons.
Now it's Pepsi.
For those who think young.
9 minutes after 7 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. All of it coming your way. Hey, hey, from CKLW. No other station can make that statement. Here's big number seven sound around the town. It's put down by Little Stevie Wonder. He's got himself one of the number one sounds across the country. The name, Harmonica Man.
Hey, Harmonica Man.
Need to create. If they can't create, baby, they may as well die. So until Detroit wakes up and lets some of their disc jockeys, like Dick Burton, create and hey, people out there, this is me. Take me for what I am. Then I'm afraid it won't be very exciting.
Yeah. All right. Hey, harmonica man, it's Little Stevie Wonder. It's about 12 minutes after 8 on a swinging Tuesday, my good news day. Tom Clay until 11 o'clock tonight.
That's a Mustang.
Now, them there and all that jazz. Here he is, Johnny Rivers, number one last week, number eight this week. Long distance information. Give me Memphis, Tennessee. I got to talk to a girl. Long distance
information. Former CKLW DJ Charlie Van Dyke talks about a memorable first impression of Detroit.
The guys from Keener were all just super warm and friendly and welcome to Detroit kind of guys. Really right on. The finest, nicest welcome. I was particularly interested in all the morning men. The nicest guy I met, who was just really right on and super warm, was Dick Purton, who I thought was just magnificent. And we rapped for a while, and he, I think, just nicely said he had even listened and thought it was groovy. And whether he had or not didn't matter. It was a nice thing to say to a guy who was new in the market and still scared to death. My one big letdown was J.P. McCarthy, who, though he'd be a super talent, certainly lacked a little warmth that night. Never really got over that. Because I really have a feeling that no matter how big you are, you're not any bigger than your brothers in the same business. And if a guy loves radio, I think you're all about equal. So that was probably the only letdown that I have in any way about Detroit. The other stations were magnificent. As a matter of fact, one of the finest guys I remember from Detroit radio was Ernie Durham. And just the many, many times that we were together at cocktail parties or at shows, and the great, great raps we got into. And, of course, he's so steeped in tradition of Detroit radio, knows everybody, and probably one of the biggest gentlemen of this business that I've ever had the privilege of knowing in my entire life. A lot of great times went down. Probably the most fun radio time ever was Detroit, Michigan.
Charlie Van Dyke now in San Diego. Let's check now with you, the listener, and find out what you think.
I listen to WABX because it's got a wide variety of music.
Detroit radio stations have the funny habit of playing the same music over and over until you get to hate the song.
I've been waiting for a long time for Heart to come back into radio in Detroit.
So how about a little less ego in Detroit radio and a little more Heart?
I go all around the dial. I like radio. I like it better than TV.
We have five radios, and it's great. We listen to them all the time. My husband never even watches television.
A look at the development of progressive rock music, as well as underground radio, in the final segment of Detroit Radio, Then, Now, and Tomorrow.